96.3 Shine FM, safe and fun for the whole family. I'm Natasha Bolta. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I have two very special guests in studio. I would like to welcome Autumn and Dana Stringham. You're in the city for Canadian Mental Health Association Week, correct?
Right.
Yes.
And you have a very personal story with mental health issues.
Very personal story. Too personal sometimes. I had a huge history of mental health problems in my mom's family. And grew up with my mom, who suffered with bipolar, and eventually lost my grandfather to suicide, her dad. And then when I was 21, long after I was diagnosed and medicated with bipolar myself, my mom actually committed suicide as well. So by 21, I was married, and we had our first little boy, and I knew that I was next in line. I was already trying lots of different medications and not finding a lot of help for the bipolar symptoms, and things were getting pretty bad. So that's how our story began. It moved quickly into a different kind of story. It actually got really interesting after that. I spent about 3.5 years heavily medicated and in and out of the hospital and doing really poorly, and got to the point where I wasn't allowed to be alone with my son, who was now 3. My dad got a little bit desperate and started trying a lot of strange ideas to help me in alternative ways, because my mom was on medication when she committed suicide, and my grandfather actually used his medication to do it. So he just didn't have a lot of hope that I was going to get better. So he just met a man in southern Alberta who was a pig feed formulator, and they made some comparisons with bipolar behavior and agitated swine, and decided to go with that as their base theory, and concocted a vitamin and mineral combination. That's where the real story begins. I was actually on a 5-drug cocktail when I got out of the hospital, and they had switched me to an excellent specialist. And he'd been working with me for several months at that point and trying different combinations. So I was on Haldol, Rivotril, Ativan, Epival, and Cogentin.
Oh, wow.
When I left the hospital and went to my dad's house. And the idea being, Dana was working midnight shift, and so I just needed to be safe at my dad's place, because I wasn't allowed to stay at night alone, because I'd wake up in the middle of the night, you know, on a manic episode and redecorate the house, or, you know, take a belt sander to the kitchen table or whatever, just behaviors that weren't really safe. So anyway, my dad starts me on this stuff, starts force feeding me this concoction. He had a bunch of powder stuff and liquid and some capsules and some, you know, recipe that they'd put together. And within 3 days, I noticed a major difference. The psychotic edge left, you know, the voices and visions, some of the stuff that were just really, really intrusive, the most intrusive symptoms, just dissipated. And I was still going through major mood swings at the time, but it was enough of a change to make me believe I wanted to continue on that path. And then over 2 months, I got off of all of my medication. I've been drug-free for 12 years.
When this first started, Dana, you must have been completely overwhelmed. I mean, you probably didn't know what to do, where to go. How did you handle those emotions? What were you feeling?
You know, it's pretty tough. That's a pretty common question I get. And I just didn't really know what was going on. That was the biggest thing, is I just had no idea. I kind of came from a family that was, like, perfect, I guess,
like, quote unquote. He grew up in the center of an apple pie.
Yeah. Like, I just, you know, there wasn't any of this thing going on. I had no idea about mental illness. I didn't know what that was, right? I honestly didn't. And so even as we're dating, and there was some science and some weird stuff going on every once in a while, I just kind of thought, well, maybe that's women. I don't know. Like, I honestly didn't know. I was really young and kind of whatever. So as these things started, as things got worse, I mean, eventually I get to the point where it's like, okay, there's obviously something really wrong with you. Let's go to the hospital. And, you know, that ended up happening. But up until that point, I didn't know how to deal with it. And it was frightening and scary, in fact, when she was diagnosed with having a mental illness. Because I thought, well, no, that can't be right. She's just having some issues here. That's not mental illness, right? Because I didn't understand what it was. And there's that whole stigma that's attached to mental illness. I thought it was crazy psychotic killers. You know, that's what mental illness is, right? Well, no, it's not. There's so many different forms of it, right?
But after our baby was born, things just turned. Because then the cycles that were lasting for days or weeks at a time were now daily. And that's when things got really violent, and I started getting into some real paranoid thoughts. And I think, actually, Dana's biggest first hint was when I attacked him physically in a hallway and accused him of trying to kill me. Then he was like, whoa. The illness isn't all chemistry either. Like being raised by somebody who was sick mm-hmm. and then having to cope with, just coping for years with paranoid thoughts and mood cycles and stuff, you really adapt some strange habits, I think, to kind of compensate and to try and keep yourself as normal looking as possible. Mm-hmm. And so once we got the brain chemistry thing straightened out with the nutrition, with pig feed intervention, that's when I think the real work began, because then it was about figuring out which part of my behavior was actually out of control illness and which parts were choices that I had been making.
More learned behavior.
Mm-hmm. A lot, yeah. And, you know, that requires some humility to try and go through that process and figure it out and then make the changes that you need to be able to be in a healthy relationship.
I think it's so great that we have both of you here because you show us both sides, so you can really shed some light. What do people do if somebody in their family or a friend of theirs has been diagnosed? How do they start? How do they interact with them? What do you need from them?
That's a really great question. I guess the first thing to do is to not back down, so to speak, right? To not go, uh-oh, what do I do with this? I don't know what to do. Like so many times, if a close family friend or something dies, and you don't know what to say to that person, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh no, your mom died. Well, that's probably the worst thing to do is to shy away and not say anything about it, right?
Yeah.
You're probably far better off to go up to that person and say, I'm so sorry, I heard your mother passed away or whatever. To me, it's no different than mental illness, because there's such a stigma out there where people think that it is a death sentence or it's a life sentence if you've got a mental illness. Well, that's not true. You know, so the first step, I think, is to just go up and approach and say, oh, I heard that this is happening. What can I do to help?
Keeping the secret isn't helping anybody.
No.
You know, Dana took a different approach with me, because when he realized suicide was a part of the equation, we talked about it all the time. Instead of pretending like it's not going to happen or that'll never happen to us, he would deliberately go out of his way to tell me reasons to live. He'd talk about, you know, places that he'd been that I hadn't been to, or places that he wanted me to see, you know, when we're older and the kids have grown up. Like, he always gave me hope that life was worth living. And so even on my darkest days, he found ways to make me laugh and to try to force me to believe that life was worth living. And I think that he knew that things were really changing with me when, you know, he asked me one day if I wanted to die, and my answer was no, because it was always yes before, you know. Do you want to die? Yep.
I can see you both getting a little bit emotional here. And you do have such a strong relationship, because the listeners can't see this, but when you're talking, you look at each other so much. You're interacting with each other so much. And I think that support must just be absolutely amazing. It must have been, I mean, obviously life-changing for you. Life-saving for
it.
You.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. And unfortunately, so many people, it's tough. I mean, let's face it, mental illness is a tough, especially something like bipolar. It's a pretty... You know, it can be, anyways, quite a severe thing. And unfortunately, a lot of couples, people don't make it. They end up splitting up. They end up, you know, there's horrible things that happen and stuff like that. But when you can make it, and we're living proof that it does happen, we're not the only ones, of course, but, you know, there are many others that make it through it, it makes you stronger.
Do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about what's coming up this week, where you'll be?
Yeah, we're going to be at, Dana and I are the keynote speakers for the event at the People's Church, and that's tomorrow night, Tuesday, from 7 to 9. And then for people who are interested in information about the treatment that I use and that my dad developed, we're going to be having a True Hope information session, and that is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And it'll probably last about an hour, but we'll stick around to answer questions afterwards as well. And that'll be just Dana and I, and that's going to be at the Golden Age Center.
Well, thank you so much to Autumn and Dana Stringham for coming out today and sharing their story. And keep listening to Shine FM. We'll tell you all about where you can meet them and listen to their story.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.